Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8 in your New Testament. And then also, if you would, to John chapter 3, Revelation 21 to 8, John chapter 3. Brother Chad Stanley is my dear friend now. We preached for him. We started preaching for him about 4 years ago up in Georgia, if you'll forgive me for that, amen. But he started telling me about Dr. Parsons, and he's got stories on him, and he said, don't use them because he'll use one on me. But he's the biggest Florida Gator fan you ever saw. And Brother Chad kept telling me, you got to get down there. You got it. If there's a way, y'all could get your family there. And I so much thank you, Brother Parsons, for allowing us to come. And Dr. Carter, huge, huge respect for your ministry and what you stand for. We're based out of El Dorado, Arkansas. My pastor's Dr. J.D. Weedo. We've been in evangelism 19 years now. Our kids are looking at your school. And they like what they saw this week. And the weekend ain't over yet. We can't wait to be back here tonight again and maybe get to sing a little bit, preach a little bit possibly. And listen to me, we love this place and just what it stands for, the old-fashioned soul winning and standards and right down the line, the King James Bible. And there's a young man named Cedric in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, 18 years of age. Don't underestimate what one teenager can do. He led 68 people to Christ his senior year before he went off to Bible college. He led 68 people to Jesus Christ and had them baptized. Every one of them got baptized. He had 68 of them baptized. Here's how he would do it. Everywhere he would go, he would carry a soul winner's New Testament in his back pocket. He would carry tracts in his front pocket. And then he would carry two sticks in his pocket. And he would give them a gospel. That sounds like something from Arkansas. That's where we're from, a bunch of rednecks and hillbillies, and we don't wear no shoes. We dressed up because we came across a couple state lines to get here, amen? All of our kids, I think they got shoes on, but you never got to watch them during the service. Hey, listen to me. But you know, it's a little third world country over there. Y'all beat them in football all the time. Hey, listen to me. But Cedric was on fire. And every time he'd lead someone to Christ, as soon as they got saved, he'd look me in the eye and tell me something. Did you mean that prayer you just prayed? And he'd stand them up. And they said, yes, I did. He said, let me see. And he pulled the two sticks out of his pocket, and he'd hold them up, and he'd cross them like this. He'd say, here's the water, here's you. They look at him funny. He said, what do these two sticks look like? And they said, well, it looks like a cross. He said, exactly. Who do you think it is that's on the cross, where these two sitting? He said, who's it look like on the cross? Every one of them, for some reason, after he just told them about the crucifixion and the resurrection, every one of them said, oh, it looks like Jesus is on that cross. He said, you're right. He said, when Jesus died, he died like hanging up. He said, most people, when they die laying down. That's interesting. He said, he died hanging up on that cross. And then when he was buried like this. He takes the two sticks and does the object lesson. And then when he rose again 3 days later, he rose again like that. And he said, it's a picture. He said, this is not Jesus. It's just a little picture. But he said, it's a picture of what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. And it's a picture of what just happened when you got saved, you received Jesus Christ. He said, the next thing you need to do is get baptized. And they'd say, okay, I'll do it. 68 of them got baptized his senior year. You listen to me? We were in Ocala, Florida, did a meeting not far from here, and my wife led a 103-year-old lady to Christ. She led little granddaughters to Christ on a Thursday morning, and they said, you got to talk to my great-great-great-great-grandma. And she said, she's over 100 years old. She was 103 years old. And around the corner of the house, my wife got to lead this dear lady, precious soul to Christ. And the lady told her, she said, I've lived here my whole life, and nobody has ever told me how to get to heaven. Thank you for telling me. She was 103 years old. We were in Enid, Oklahoma, in a Wednesday night meeting. Don't miss Wednesday night. You never know what may happen. And Wednesday night, we were there, and we arrived early and got there about 5 o'clock. Church service starts at 7, and they put us in a prophet's chamber, and Mom gave me a honey-do list. Can you go to Walmart and pick this up? We keep Walmart open, amen, and Dollar Tree. Hey, listen to me. She said, could you get these items? I said, okay, whatever. With Mom ain't happy, nobody's happy. And you know what happened? Absolutely. I said to Andrew, let's get out and get away from the girls. And Andrew jumps in with me. He loves basketball. on the way back from getting that list, we still had an hour or so left before we changed clothes to get to church. Our first time there at that service, at that church, and Andrew saw these two boys playing basketball. He loves basketball. He's MVP of his team the last 2 years. He's a senior. Hey, listen to me. He saw that these basketball goals are all over America. Teenagers love it. It's like the fastest growing sport. And there's two boys out there playing basketball. And he said, Dad, I want to play. I got a few minutes here. I'm still dressed for, play clothes. And so, I said, son, forget it. We're not doing it unless we go soul winning. We got to see them get saved. Tag team soul winning. You know what happened? We get out. I intercept the ball. Said, sorry, you ain't getting it back. I stick it behind my back. I said, I'm asking you a question. You got to answer this question, right? Or you're not getting the ball back. And we take those two teams and ask them, if you died today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. And you know what happened? In about 15 minutes, me and Andrew tag team soul. And he do a verse, I do a verse, he do a verse. And we got to lead those two boys to Christ. It was crazy, though, when I wrote down their names. You got to get their name down. God writes the name in heaven. We got to get our name down here and get our ages and addresses. And I wrote down the guy's name. He said, my name is this or this. He said, ask him his name. And I said, what's your name? He said, Clark. And he said, tell him your last name. And he goes, ask him his last name. I said, okay, what's your last name? Kent. I said, you're messing with me. You both are messing with me. He was 16 years old. That was his name. I said, prove it. I want to see pull your wallet out. You got a driver's license? He said, I sure do. He pulled it out. It was Clark Kent, got saved in Enid, Oklahoma. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know who might get saved. My wife got to lead a girl named Jezebel to Christ. I'll tell you more about the story. In Midland, Texas, her and three of her friends and two boys that were with her. And this girl had crazy looking, different color hair and body piercing and all this and tatted all up. And she'd come walking in the service and I'm preaching. And at the invitation, the pastor, who had so many people getting saved, the pastor said, Miss Janie, could you leave the piano with her and could you go down and show these girls how to get saved? And Janie got down there with her Bible and she showed them how to get saved and they trusted Christ. All five of them did, the three girls and then the two boys elsewhere. And when she got to the girl, one girl, she said, what's your name? She said, Jezebel. And my wife's trained. She said, okay, what's your last name? And she said this. And so the girl blurted out, she said, I don't have a mom. My dad's in prison since I was 3 years old. She said, I've never been in a church like this. I've never heard this. You say that girl probably didn't mean it. Well, maybe her and her two friends didn't. The two more boys too. They look like, one boy looked like he slipped and fell in my tackle box. He had so much stuff all over. I felt sorry for him. But they got saved. You say they didn't mean it. Yeah, they did. I think they did. They might have, because all five of them got baptized later that day. Are you listening to me? You don't know who you might lead to the Lord if you'll just try. If you'll just open your mouth, God will help you if you'll help him. Have you listened to me? We were in California preaching on Christmas Sunday. And on the way back, we got to witness to 3 5-star athletes out in California. Two of them got saved. It was unbelievable. That were like top athletes coming out of high school. One of them was a top quarterback, started for Clemson for 2 years. We got to lead him to Christ Sunday afternoon between church services. And on the way home, we're coming through Tucson. My wife had told me, we can go to California, but we have to be back by Christmas Eve morning at 6 a.m. You're going to have, I'm not driving. You're driving the whole gang, 15-passenger van. You drive the whole trip. I said, okay. And she's serious. We got to get back to grandma's house, to her mom, East Texas, and we got to go from Southern California. It's straight through driving. Monday night, it's 20 degrees. We are in Tucson, Arizona. We eat supper. We get back in the van. My boys got my phone or something. I don't know what they did. Dad, do you realize who lives in Tucson? We've already witnessed to these athletes, and some of them are getting saved. It's unbelievable. But the number one running back in America lives here in Tucson. Don't you care about his soul? They didn't care about his soul. They wanted his autograph on their football. It's going to be worth something, huh? They said, this guy, his name is Bajan or something like that. And I said, boys, there's no way we're going to get to stop. Mom is serious. We have to be back by tomorrow morning at 6. We're driving straight through. And they said, Dad, ask her. She cares about souls. I said, you ask her. And you know what happened? She goes, no, absolutely not. We're not going to make it back. And you know what happened? After a little while, they're working her over. She said, okay, 1 hour. You go, I don't know how long you need, 1 hour. Moody said this. He said, if I can get a person to stop and listen to me and think about their eternity for 15, 20 minutes, they'll get saved almost every time. Listen to me. I said, she said, 1 hour, and then you got to get me home by 6 a.m. I said, I'm going to stay up all night. I will do it. But we got to get Jan saved. But John, what's his name? And there's 200 Robinsons in that city of Tucson. In the White Pages, we're trying to find his house. We don't have a way. There's no way we're going to find it. 200, it's a 1 in a million shot. Pray, boys. Dear Jesus, please help us find John's house. We'd like to see him get saved. They'd like to get the autograph, Lord. Would you do it in Jesus' name? Amen. We drove to the first house, and it was his house. Three-story house. His grandpa comes to the door, and he said, yeah, but John lives here. He said, I'll get him. He's in his room. He'll be here 5 more days, and we'll probably never see him again. And he had just signed with the I don't mean to bring up a bad subject. He signed with the Longhorns, that's the first 5-star they had in 20 years. And he signed with them the Wednesday night before his national letter of intent, and he had 45 teams after him. And the first thing I said to him when he came to the door, I said, hey, man, we love where you chose to go to school. I taught my two boys when they were 2 to hold their fingers up like this and count to 2. He laughed, and he said, I'll sign their football. You want my picture? We got his picture on my phone right here. And he's freezing. He had South Point Catholic High School on his T-shirt. He had a pair of shorts on and a pair of socks. He was freezing. And I said, but John, we had it kind of all set up and staged. I said, but John, I guess, in closing, I said, I guess you made the biggest decision of your life last Wednesday when you signed with Texas. I'm glad you did. And he laughed. He said, sure, I did. And my son Andrew goes, no, you didn't. He looked at Andrew like, what? You didn't make the biggest decision last week. And little David pulls a track out, our track out. And little David hit him in the knee with little David, knocked down a giant. And he pulls a track out. If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? But John's reading that. This is the biggest decision. The Holy Spirit said, don't say a word. He got quiet. He started reading that track. He was reading that thing on the end, say you can be saved and know it. There's 5 things you got to know. He started reading that, and the Lord said, don't say a word. Pretty soon, tears began to roll down his face. I mean, they're turning to icicles. And he looked at me, and about 45 seconds later, he said, sir, are you serious? And all three of us are going, yeah, read it. And he turned around at Grandpa, out of respect. He said, Grandpa, I've wanted to know this my whole life. This is all I wanted to know, is how to get to heaven. He said, can I let them show me how? And he goes, sure, I'd like to know too. And we did a tag team, all three of us. I quote a verse, Andrew quote a verse, David quote a verse, I quote a verse, give the point. At David, we got down to John 3:16, our last verse on the track. And I said, David, would you quote that verse? And he quoted it for him. But John said, I've heard that verse before. He said, I don't know about the rest of them, but he said, I'm going to hell. He said, you never met somebody going to hell like I am. He said, I know I'm going there, and a lot of my friends. And he said, but I like that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And David quoted it, and he said, I like that. I said, I'm glad. Would you like to trust Christ as your Savior and pray right now? He said, I sure would. And he bowed his head, sobbing, crying, weeping his eyes out. And he got saved right there on his porch, freezing to death. I've got layered clothes on. I'm cold. I think, man, this kid's tough. And then his grandpa. It's unbelievable what happened. We were pinching ourselves. There's no way. We got his autograph too, boys. And we got back in the car. And mama's going, you turned the van off when you got out and we're freezing. So we turned it back on, if that's okay. I said, sure. She said, he said, got the heater on. We prayed the whole time. He got saved, didn't he? I said, yeah, he sure did. Right after he got saved, I asked him, do you mean that prayer? He goes, I sure did. Read it to him again, David. David read it to him again. He said, man, I like that verse. He said, I don't know much Bible, but I like that verse. I said, I'm glad you do, because your nickname is now, but John 3:16. He started laughing. Every time he went all over Twitter, everything, every time he scored a touchdown, Texas hadn't scored any in years. Every time he scored a touchdown, he'd go up like, he'd point up like this. Every time he'd take the ball and point up. And many times if he got a receiving touchdown, he'd do like this and do like that. He became the number one pick for the Atlanta Falcons, the eighth pick overall 2 years ago. Last year, he was number three running back in America in the NFL. And he said, I'm changing my number to seven. I don't like five. He said, it's not a good number in the Bible. I don't know. He said, I like seven. It's a Jesus number. And he said, I like Jesus. And he does, every time he does, it's his signature. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Reed? Well, I want to give you today, by God's grace, just the next few moments. It ain't going to take long. But I want to give you the verses that we gave Bajan. They're on his doorstep. That we gave that Clark Kent boy. That we gave this, my wife gives people, hey, I'm just going to give it to you today. Just give you the skinny. Listen to me, I'll just give you. Here's what you got to know. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, here's what you got to know. There's five things you got to know real quick. One, the first thing you got to know to get to heaven is you got to know this. You got to know you're a sinner and you're not good enough to get to heaven on your own. Listen closely. The Bible says this. It says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. According to the Bible, there's not anybody good. If I went around asking people, are you a good person? Almost everybody I talk to would say, oh yeah, I'm good. And they start giving me 15 reasons why. But God said in his book, the Bible, nobody's good. There's none good, no, not one. I wonder why he says that. Because maybe he knows us. Here's why later in the chapter he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't care who you are here, what age. If you were good, you wouldn't sin. If you were good, you wouldn't have done some of the things you've done the last 2 or 3 years. Or if you're like me, the last 2 or 3 days. I mess up every day. I'm not even trying to no more. First thing you got to know to get to heaven is you got to know you're a sinner. You're not good enough to get to a perfect place. Heaven's perfect. You're not. You might not make it. Here's number two. The second thing you got to know, I said, but John, you got to know this. Your sins have to be paid for. Death is going to be the penalty. Do you think you could just sin and sin and sin and get away with it? I've never had anybody answer me different. He said, no, I would pay. I said, the question is, how do you pay for your sins? The Bible tells you. It says in Romans 6:23, listen to me. I don't care who you are in here, you need to hear this. And you may need to hear it again because it says, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the first part of the verse. The wages of sin is death. Your wages are what you get for what you do. When you work a job, you get paid for it. You're not just donating your time. You only get a paycheck on Friday or something. Are you listening? Hey, your wages are what you get for the work you do. The wages of sin is death. Listen to me now. Sin is going to kill you. You like it, but you won't like it when the consequences come. It tells you how this thing started. It says Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Listen to me. God said, he put Adam and Eve in the garden. First two people that ever lived. You know the story. Many of you know the story. They were going to live forever. They had it made in the shade. They would have never died. They'd still be here right now if they hadn't messed up. Listen, he said, you can eat any tree in the garden. This one or this one or this one over here. He said, but don't eat of that tree right there. He said, the day you eat that tree, you'll surely die. You know what they did? They went right over there and ate of that fruit, just like I'd have done if I'd have been there. And they wind up dying. I hadn't seen them around lately, have you? They must have paid for their sin. And sin's going to kill you too. That's number two. Here's the third thing you got to know. To get to heaven, you got to know this. It's not over when you die. As you're going to face a judgment one day. What? Oh yeah. People say, I'm going to live it up, party hardy, do whatever I want. Because one of these days when I die, it's all over. Wrong. When you die, it ain't over. When you die, it starts. This thing's like a pregame warm-up getting you ready for the real thing. One place or the other, heaven or hell is where you're going. What happens after you die? The Bible's the only book in the world that tells you your future and hits it right 100% of the time. It tells you where you're going. It says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Once we die, we stand before God. I'll have my turn. You'll have your turn. Listen closely. One by one, every person that ever lived and died is going to meet their maker. Revelation 20 verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And then it says, here we are. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. Once we die, we all have our turn. We stand before God. And so like every, and he said, there's books. He's going to write, he's writing down record books. He's writing down everything we do from day one on. He sees the whole thing. And it's coming back up, and we're going to meet it in court. That means like every time I ever said something I wasn't supposed to say, like for instance, lying, cussing, telling a dirty joke. You know what Jesus said? He said this in Matthew 12:32, every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. Wow. That means every little word I say, I'm going to have to look God in the eye and explain why I said it. That'd be very hard to do if you said something as bad as I have. Now, I know a lot of you people in here, you probably never said anything you shouldn't. So you probably have nothing to worry about. But boy, I've said a mouthful. Our words are going to be judged. Everyone, our thoughts, what goes through your mind, what you look at with your eyes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says, fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Why? For God will bring thee into judgment with every work, with every secret thing, whether it be good, whether it be evil. Let me get down where you live. Listen closely. On the very last page in the Bible, I ask you to turn there early. I want you to see this one verse. Revelation 21:8. I want you to see it. It's on the last page in the Bible, so you can find it maybe. If it ain't on the last page in yours, you come up here afterwards, I'll show it to you on the last page of my Bible. Revelation 21:8. There is a list of eight different sins. If you commit one of these eight sins, you automatically go to hell. I found out I was in the list. What are you talking about? Your speaker today, I'm in the list. Just guess which one I broke. Here's what it says. These people go to hell. He said the fearful, they'll go to hell. That's a coward. Somebody's ashamed of Jesus. The unbelieving, they'll go to hell. That's an atheist. Somebody that doesn't believe in God at all. Abominable, that's a sicko person that like messes with children and stuff like that. There's a lot of abominations listed in the Bible. You don't want to go. You don't want to be one of those. The next one is murderers. It's in the list. It's number four on the list. Are you reading it? If you don't have a Bible, look on with the person next to you. See this. You got to see this. It says murderers will go to hell. Now, we all know that. The Bible's very logical. If you do something, you go out and kill somebody, you can't expect to go to heaven. If you've done that, you know before you did it. Hey, if somebody, it's very logical. Hey, the Bible tells you exactly where you're headed. He said murderers will go to hell. You say, Brother Reed, I ain't never done that. What about the next one? It gets closer to home. It said whoremongers. That's not just the lady of the night. That's the guy that messes with her. Yeah. Ruh-roh. Hey, listen, sorcerers, that's like witchcraft, Satanism, devil worship. Idolaters, that's like bowing down to images, idols, and statues. Some people, they don't pray to Jesus. They a little Chinese restaurant, they see a little fat dude there, bald headed, needs to wear some clothes. And they rub his little bald head. They buy a little bitty miniature of him. And when they get home, at home, they pray over the food and they rub his little head, say, Buddha, 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 please bless the Fuda, Fuda, Fuda. That ain't going to help your food taste one bit better, man. You're praying to something dead, a dumb idol is what it called in the Bible. Jesus is the only wise God. Hey, listen to me. I'm talking about sins that you commit, you'll go to hell for. But look at the last one on the list. He says, and all liars, just in case you think you're good. It's like he says, P.S., just in case you think you're good, look at the last one. They say there's seven deadly sins. Their math is always wrong. The world never gets it right. God always has one more sin on his list than anybody would have put on theirs. He says, P.S., he says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Uh-oh, that one sunk my boat. God says, liar, did you read that? I've shown this to grown men and they turn white as a ghost. Are you serious? I said, I didn't write it. It says liars go to the same place murderers go. Are you listening to me? They're both one of the 10. Y'all have heard of the 10, right? Thou shalt not kill, there's your murder one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Then he says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means you ain't supposed to say something false with your mouth. Oh no, I'm going to hell. And it looks like there may be some people in here that are just as guilty. And if you died just like you are today, you wouldn't go to heaven. You see why you need to get saved? This is not some joke, some religious thing to try to get your money. No, no, no. Hey, listen, no. It's about where you're going to spend eternity. And he said, liars go the same place murderers go. I've showed you a verse that shows you exactly what God said to do to get to hell. There's your verse right there. But let me show you one that shows you exactly how to get to heaven. I love this verse. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. I don't care who you are and what you've done. He loves you today, and he proved it at Calvary. He sent his son. He was born in that little manger back in Christmas Day, whatever, 2,000 years ago, and he lived 33 years. He never sinned. Jesus never sinned. Did you hear what I said? He never sinned. I can't go 33 minutes, preacher, without sinning, or 33 seconds. You ever try to time yourself? He never sinned. But listen closely, I'm finishing up. The world took the best man that ever lived, and they made sure he died the worst death in human history. They took him out there that day. They stripped his clothes off of him. They whipped him with something worse than a bull whip. Some say the Romans would whip their victims up to 200 times or more. Blood stripes, no doubt, were all up and down his body, front and back, top to bottom. Blood's already starting to pour out of him. They take a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. Yeah, King Jesus, you're our king. And they crown him with that crown. Beat the thorns into his head. Blood's coming down his face. They blindfold him, hit him with their fist, and slap him and spit on him and play a game called blind man's bluff. If you're really God, if you're really Christ, tell us who smote you. Give me my name, rank, serial number, those Roman soldiers. He never opened his mouth. He could see right through the blindfold. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then they took his beard and ripped it off his face. Spit on him with their dirty mouths. Blood's pouring out of the bottom of his head. They're not half done. They took a cross, weighed over 200 pounds or more, and pushed him up a hill and made him get to the top. And when he got there, they nailed him there with nails bigger than railroad spikes. Hung him up there for like 6 hours through both of his hands. Blood's pouring out down his arms fast, dripping straight on the ground on the top of that mountain. Blood's coming out fast, and it's hurting bad. And they put it through his feet, and Jesus never opened his mouth, never cussed him once. He's praying for him. And the last thing they did, they put a spear in his side. Some say long point, long pole, sharp point, it right in his heart. Some say it got him right in the heart. I don't know. But he said they got him in the side. Looks like the last blood that came out of Jesus Christ came out of his side and maybe out of his heart. You say, how does that get me saved? Listen close. You got to connect the dots and I'm done. You know who should have been on that middle cross, girls? It was not Jesus, obviously. He didn't deserve that treatment. You know who should have been there? It was me, your speaker today. You know who else it was? It was every one of you right here in this front section. All the way back, you ladies, you nice folks. Everybody think, hey, you messed up. Hey, boys, hey, you messed up all over the place. Hey, listen to me. You know who should have been there? It was you. It was you in the back, in the front. I don't care how old or how young you are. Hey, Jesus took your place. An innocent man died for the guilty, and I'm guilty. You might as well come clean. You might as well put 52 cards on the table face up and call a spade a spade. You're not going to hide it from him. And listen to me, he paid your debt. He became your substitute. He suffered in your place and he died. The Bible said, God commendeth his love toward us. Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took my place. He took my place. An innocent man paid for the guilty man's sins. Don't you see how this works? The debt got paid already. If I went out here and bought you a brand new sports car, don't get your hopes up. I can't pay for the vehicle I got. But if I bought you a brand new, you say, I want a pickup. That's probably smarter. I ain't got the money for that either. But if I gave you the keys and said, here it's yours, it's paid for, and I got the receipt to prove it, and handed it to you, you'd be the biggest fool that ever lived in Florida if you went down there and start paying for it again, trying to pay for that thing again. If you knew I bought it. Why? Everybody knows. I ain't got to pay for something twice. That ain't good English, but it's good preaching. Ain't got to pay for something twice. Jesus paid your debt. He died on that cross. An innocent man died for the guilty. He carried your sins on his back to the tree and paid for them like they were his own. And he somehow suffered hell on the cross. I don't know how to explain it, but it's all through the Bible. And us preachers, it's almost too sacred to talk about. But somehow Jesus paid the equivalent of hell on Calvary so you could get to heaven. He went down so you could go up. You know what I've done today? It's pretty simple. I've given you two verses. One verse, how to get to hell. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with brimstone, which is a saying. And one verse, how to get to heaven. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm giving you one verse, how to get to hell, one verse, how to get to heaven. Here's my question. You don't have to answer out loud. Which way you want to go? Which way you want to go? Which way you want to go? It's like the ultimate no-brainer question. Your answer is heaven, if you got any brains at all. You don't want to go to hell. Listen to me. If your answer is heaven, listen close. There's one thing you've got to do. I'm going to ask my wife to come and take a place at the piano. And the kids, could y'all step up right here and just get in your positions? They're going to sing a song in closing you heard earlier. Listen closely. No one's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. I've given you one verse, how to get to hell. I've given you one verse, how to get to heaven, just like we did with John. Listen to me now. If your answer is, I want to go to heaven, there's one thing you've got to do. As she begins to play softly a verse of song in just a moment, listen closely. There's one thing you've got to do to get to heaven. You must now receive him by asking him to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christians, if you know how to pray, would you pray and get a hold of God? If you're here today and you've never really asked Christ to save you, you've never really asked Jesus to come in your heart, you've never really realized that you were on your way to hell, it's that it said it in the Bible, but you know that today, you know what you need to do? Right there in your seat, you need to pray. You need to begin to pray. You don't have to pray out loud, you can, but you could pray silently and talk to the Lord. Ask him for a favor, the ultimate favor. He's listening. He's not dead anymore. Jesus rose again the third day. You can't keep a good man down. He's alive and he's here. There's somebody else in this building right now besides all of us. It's Jesus. And he's knocking on your heart. He wants to save you. Won't you talk to him? Won't you tell him the truth? Won't you pray to him and ask him to save you? If you're here today and you're not sure what to pray and you've never really gotten saved before, realize you're going to hell before, but you know it now, where you go if you drop dead, listen to me. Would you pray something like this there in your seat? Say something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I deserve to die and go to hell. The Bible says it. Tell him the truth. Tell him this. I don't want to go there. Talk to him. I don't want to go there, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart and save me and wash my sins away. All of them, Lord, past, present, future. I'm never going to be able to quit. I'm messed up. But Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. Would you come inside right now? Give me a bath on the inside. Wash me in your blood. Thank you for dying for me. Help me to live for you the best I can. Never be ashamed. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. I'm trusting you completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. Just another moment, Christians praying. If you're here today and you just now for the very first time realize you were on your way to hell and you ask Christ to save you, from that place. That's called old-fashioned salvation. Would you do this? No one else is looking, but would you look up here at me? I just now prayed the prayer, Brother Reed. I prayed the prayer. Would you look up here at the speaker? I just now, did you mean that, young lady? Good, I know you did. How about you? You meant it? Just keep your eyes on me. Thank you. Someone else on the front. Did you mean it down there? Good. I'm not trying to embarrass you. How about right here? Did you pray that and mean it? All right, great. How about down here? Did you pray that as well? Excellent, excellent. Right up here. Back there, young lady, did you pray it and mean the prayer? Thank you. Did you pray it as well? All right, I'm going right back through this section. I may have missed somebody, but just keep your eyes on me just a second, just a few moments. Right over here on this side, I prayed it and I meant the prayer. If you did, would you look up here? Did you mean that, ma'am? Good, good, good. Somebody else over here, I prayed it and meant it as well. All right, right here in the front center section. Did you pray that and mean that, young man? You meant it, didn't you? Did you pray it? I did it too. I did it too. I did it as well. How about you, lady? Did you do that? Would you? I prayed and I asked Christ to save me back there in the back, in the middle, right over here, young man on the front. Thank you. Someone over here, did you pray and trust Christ as your Savior? I know you meant it. I could tell you meant it. You meant that prayer. Hey, listen, did you mean it back in here? All right, great, great. Right over here on this side up in the balcony. I prayed and I prayed. I meant that prayer, Brother Reed. I've never been saved before, but I just trusted Christ. Did you mean that, sir? Good, good. Here's what I want you to do. Keep your eyes on me just a second. What I want you to do is right where you're seated, I want you to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Right where you're seated. If you prayed that and you meant that for the very first time, stand up for Jesus. Sing it, kids. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be ashamed.
Stand
for Jesus. I did it too. Don't be ashamed.
Claim his name.
I did it as well, in the middle, in the back.
For he loved you on
the balcony. Wonderful, wonderful.
With arms out open wide. Stand for Jesus. He's standing by your side.
Heads are bowed in the back, but if you're up here,
God,
keep looking at me.
Looking,
here's what I want to say.
To
if you just now prayed that prayer and you meant that prayer, and you're a young
and
man,
defy the world
oh, you're a man,
embrace.
You're a boy,
to
would you come up here and put your hand on this Bible?
For the glory
right here,
of
just step
the cross.
Out, come up here, put
it's
your right hand on this Bible.
On a hill.
I'm not ashamed.
Jesus.
Just put your hand
don't
on this Bible. I did it.
Ashamed.
Come on, guys, if you did it, come on up.
Stand
put your
Jesus.
Hand on this Bible.
Claim
come on, boys.
Name.
Don't be ashamed.
For he loved you on a rugged cross.
Wonderful,
with
wonderful.
Arms out open
guys,
wide.
Did you mean that prayer? Did you mean
stand
that prayer? If you did, I want
he's
you to do it just like your Jesus
your
is
side.
Here. I want this pastor here is going to have someone talk with you and go back through it just a moment and make sure you understood and you prayed the prayer. I want you to walk this way with preacher out that way, and some of the guys are going to help you to make sure you understand it. Head that way. Talk quietly, head right that way and follow Dr. Parsons. All right, girls, you know what's up. You're next. Girls should go first, right? If you're a soul winner, you want to get in your place to help us. We need it, ladies. Would you, if you're a girl and you trusted Christ as your Savior, would you come up and put your right hand on this Bible? There were some more of you that prayed. I know you did. Stand up. I did it. Would you come and put your hand on this Bible? Or you may say, I want to do it right now. I need to do it right now. We'll help you fix you up. All right, girls, right up here. I prayed that prayer. Right hand on the Bible. I meant that prayer and I trusted Christ. You meant it, didn't you? All right, here's what I want you to do. Ladies, could you help me? All right, here's what we're gonna do. This dear lady, the youth pastor's wife, she's follow her right over that direction where my finger's pointed. And the ladies are gonna show you how to be saved. Make sure you know. They're not gonna take long because they've already heard it. But go back for a minute with them where they understand it. We call it double coverage. Amen. Double dipping, making sure you know, because we don't. It's a very important time. The crowd's going to be dismissed in a moment. We got the inflatables set up. They're already ready. The food's already set, and I think sitting out somewhere. But I know we got up early. Our boys, we got up at 2 a.m. this morning. Me and my boy Andrew said, "Get up, son. Dad, I'm sleeping." We got up because we're looking at. I'm looking at weather.com, and it says. It says 70% chance of rain is 6. And at 7, it was 72%. And I said, we're putting the covers over them. But we're going to pray the whole time. Right here, the preacher's going to talk to you right there, ma'am. And we set those out. And when we got up at 6:30 in the morning, the weather was clear. I ain't believing it. That may be raining right now. I don't know. But I know I got a big God. but I'm also supposed to use my brains. Hey, listen to me. We're ready. Things are ready and set, but there's nothing more important than this. There's nothing more important. Hey, listen to me. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, if you trusted Jesus and asked Him to come in your heart today, He says this: if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. He said, if you deny me before men, He's the ultimate straight shooter. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Listen close. What you do with Jesus down here is what He's going to do with you up there. And if you trusted Christ as your Savior today, He wrote your name in heaven. The preacher's coming. I'm going to take the service. Man, we're blessed to be here. What a blessing. The Holy Spirit was here today. Thank you, Andrew. If you want to go over and set them things up, make sure they're up and running, preacher. Thank you.